I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here and to talk to you about Restoration Church. We live in a time when located preachers are often hired based on their ability not to offend anyone, especially the elders. But ultimately, the preacher is left with only four choices. He can offend those to his right, or to his left, or nobody, or everybody. I suppose that sometimes keeping our jobs demands that we try to offend nobody as much as possible, but it is probably more in keeping with the Spirit of Christ to offend somebody rather than nobody. In my 52 years of preaching, I have finally successfully developed the somewhat dubious distinction of being one of the few preachers in our fellowship who, depending on whatever topic I address, has the knack of offending everybody. My topic is, what is a restoration church? I hope that you're curious about that. I hope your curiosity has brought you here. I want to begin by talking to you about words. I have a very short period of time to discuss this matter. If you want to know what I think about it in a more full sense, I have five books that are available. And the first one is called What is a Restoration Church? And the second one is A Restoration Church and Its Worship. The third is A Restoration Church and Its Music. The fourth is A Restoration Church and the Role of Women. And the fifth is A Restoration Church, Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. Now that those books are out, I have opted to move to the back country of Australia, where I will never answer the phone again. Words are important. Words can accurately convey meaning, and words can be totally misleading. I don't know if you have thought about the fact that we think in words. We conceptualize in words, and it is almost impossible for us to think without thinking in words. That means that if we fail to use our words correctly, our thinking, our conceptualizing becomes distorted. The fact that in our culture words have proliferated to the point of a volcanic eruption has resulted in less and less definitiveness and more misconception. Sometimes that misconception is even deliberate. I want first to talk about the words, the Church of Christ. Not too long ago, I was speaking in another place, and I was introduced by a friend of mine to a lady that I had never met before. When my friend said to her, "I want you to meet John Smith," she said, "Oh, are you the John Smith?" I said, "Well, that depends on which John Smith you mean." She said, "I mean, are you the John Smith who wrote those wonderful books?" I said, "I'm sure that I am." "But it might be helpful to know which wonderful books you're referring to." She said, "Oh, I mean, My Mother Played the Piano, and My Mother's Favorite Song, and Oak Trees and Angels, and Hugs for Moms." And I said, "Oh, yes, if that's what you mean, then I am the John Smith." That's about as close to something humorous that you're going to get in this lesson. Honestly, no one enjoys laughter more than I do. but I have no talent for injecting humor into my lessons. I simply cannot remember a joke. I cannot. It is something that's a deficiency in my genetic makeup. And I admire those who have the gift of lacing their sermons with humorous anecdotes, but I have no gift for it. I listen to some preachers who work at being funny. I mean, they plan it and they intentionally inject it. But quite often they don't have a gift for it, so it falls flat because it's contrived. One of my favorite speakers is a guy named Tom Milholland. Tom has an incredible gift for humor. He doesn't have to work at it. It simply comes to him naturally. I know he doesn't plan that stuff. Nobody could plan the things that he says. I love to listen to Tom Milholland, and I'm very envious of his gift. But it is a gift, and I don't have it. Those of you who know me know how valiantly I strive for coherency in my lessons. I spend countless hours manuscripting my sermons. I worked on this lesson last night from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. I started again this morning at 5:15, and I didn't get through until after 9 o'clock. And I'm certain that after telling you that, when I get through, you're going to wonder what in the world took me so long to come up with that. I've worked on this lesson, and I'm not happy with it.